Freedom starts with the name of Jesus on our lips. It is completed with the nature of Jesus in our hearts. In the past weeks, we have looked at how in the midst of exhaustion, fatigue, frustration, fear, challenge, whatever the case, Paul stayed in the battle. Irwin McManus said, "Often it is God who forces circumstances on us in which it becomes necessary for you to rely solely on God's goodness. Like Moses with Pharaoh, God may orchestrate your life in such a way as to force you to face the battle that you have been looking at throughout your life saying, maybe I just don't want to fight this battle." For many of us, those areas of struggle center around something that Paul refers to in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Turn with me now. "Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am a timid person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we'll punish everyone who remains disobedient." In this passage, Paul is talking once again about how we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, rulers of the air. And since our battle is not with flesh and blood, Paul wants us to know that our weapons are not earthly, fleshly, physical weapons. This isn't about swords and shields. This is a spiritual battle. As Paul utilizes the word strongholds, those spiritual fortresses that Satan can build in our lives, those roadblocks that if not eliminated, will make true enduring freedom impossible. That's what our spiritual weapons of warfare are for pulling down these strongholds. So what is a stronghold? Way back in 1 Samuel, David is on the run from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. As we read in 1 Samuel 23:14 that David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness, these were physical places, such as caves up on a mountainside, which were very difficult for an enemy to access and attack. Protected places, fortresses. David wrote about such places in the 18th Psalm when he writes, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, whom I find protection." "He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies." So you have this Old Testament picture of a place of protection, this place of safety. But Paul is clearly taking that word stronghold and flipping it for us to show that these same fortified places can be places of defense for the enemy. Strongholds that are bastions for Satan and sin. All kinds of demonic activity in people's lives. So Paul defines these strongholds in 2 Corinthians, verse 5. "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts." And then he tells us how our weapons are victorious by teaching them to obey Christ. Kind of sounds like the nature of Christ in our hearts, doesn't it? Where do these strongholds come from? Maybe not all of them, but many of them are formed in one of three places, one of three sources. first being the world. Francis Frangipane writes, "The steady stream of information and experience that continually shaped our childhood perceptions is the greatest source of strongholds with us. The amount of love or lack of love in our home, our cultural environment, peer values and pressures, as well as fears of rejection and exposure, even our physical appearance and intelligence, all combine to form our sense of identity and our view of life." And deepening on the source of nature of that steady stream of information and experience, you may have built within your heart and mind godly strongholds. You may have taken everything and formed godly strongholds. Or, from that same experience, or from your experiences, a place may have been given for the enemy to build his strongholds. So let me give you an example of this. Astrology. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you know what your sign is? I'm guessing 100%. How many of you have read your horoscope today, even if just for fun? How many of you have read your horoscope and allowed it to influence your personality or your actions or your outlook for the day? Have you ever found yourself saying, "I tend to respond that way because I'm a Pisces," or "I'm not surprised that happened. My horoscope said it was going to be a bad day"? That's the influence of the world, not God, in your thought life. And it can lead to a stronghold against what God would want you to think and believe. Are you superstitious? Don't walk under ladders? Don't like Friday the 13th? You know none of that's in the Bible, right? If you find yourself fearful, gloomy, or expecting the worst on Friday the 13th, that's the influence of the world. And it can lead to a stronghold against what God wants you to think and believe. Much of the doom and gloom I see in people's lives is due to the overload, the overwhelming messages of the world, which have created strongholds in our minds. Another source of strongholds is our experiences. We tend often to divide the truth by what we see around us. God defines truth by His Word, but we tend to define truth by what we've experienced, the reality around us. We let that become truth instead of God's Word. So if we don't get healed, we define truth as, "I'm not going to be healed." Or worse yet, "God doesn't heal." But God's Word is the truth regarding His power, ability, and provision for healing. We don't get to change truth based on our changing reality. If we sin and stumble, we define truth as, "I can't be like Christ. I can't live a holy life." But God's Word is the truth regarding sanctification and holiness and our ability to become a new creation. Our reality doesn't change the truth. Experiences have a powerful influence on our belief system and can be an incredible source of strongholds against the truth of God's Word and the freedom that can be found in Christ. As you search for true freedom, it is so important to remember that our experiences do not change who God is and do not change the truth of His Word. But they often lead to the third source of strongholds, wrong doctrines. Jesus knew that this would happen, so He warned His disciples, "See to it that no one misleads you." Paul wrote, "The fact of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." 2 Corinthians 13:1. as you'll see in just a moment, most of the strongholds that hamper our freedom are based on wrong doctrine, poor interpretation or understanding of God's word. Every battle we face in life is over the word and whether or not we can build our lives upon the faithfulness and integrity of God. That's pretty heady stuff. Listen to that again. Every battle we face in life is over the word and whether or not we can build our lives upon the faithfulness and integrity of God. The next few moments may bear that out. If we know what a stronghold is and have a good idea where they come from, what are the strongholds that can keep us from experiencing true, enduring freedom? Let's look at some of them together. First of all, pride. This is probably the starting block for all of us. Because until we're willing to admit that we need to be set free, until we're willing to recognize that our condition and helplessness without God, the stronghold of pride will keep us bound up. David, at one of his highest moments, and Job, at one of his weakest, asked the same question. What is man? The question is answered in Hebrews chapter 2. Turn with me there, verses 5 through 9. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now when the Bible says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have yet to see all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who is given a position a little lower than the angels when he became human. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. The writer of Hebrews says that when you look at man, you have to wrestle with both the lowliness of man and at the same time, this position that God has given us. There is a strange dichotomy or seeming oxymoron when you think about who we are. Kind of like these things. Do you ever think about some odd contrasts in our lives and our world? Why does the sun lighten our hair, yet darken our skin? Why doesn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle? Why don't you ever see the headline, "Psychic wins the lottery"? Why is abbreviated such a long word? Why is a boxing ring square? Why is it doctors call what they do practice? Why is it that rain drops, but snow falls? Why is it that to stop your computer, you click start? And why is it that when you're driving and looking for an address, you turn down the radio? What is man? What is man that he is in a position of being lowly, yet raised up in authority? The writer of the Hebrews says that when you wrestle with this, you are drawn to Jesus. When you try to figure out what is man, the answer God has given us is verse 9. What we do see is Jesus. Jesus, who Paul describes in Philippians as the man who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Again, this is why freedom begins with the name of Jesus on our lips, and is completed with the nature of Jesus in our hearts. Because as the nature of Jesus moves into our hearts, the stronghold of pride is demolished, and our utter reliance upon God in the battles of life brings the victory. So let me ask you something this morning. Do you think you need to be set free, at least in some area or place in your life? Because if you answered, no, everything's good, I'm cool, I'm as free as I could be, the odds are you're being influenced by the stronghold of pride. You may be one of those rare people that has found complete and utter freedom and peace in your Christian walk. And if that's so, praise God. But if you're like most of us, there are areas where you know you are not free. And until you set your pride aside and tear down that stronghold of pride, you will not experience the true, enduring freedom that God desires for your life. And this automatically leads to the second stronghold, a second argument against the knowledge of God, and that is the stronghold of unbelief. That's a stronghold that tells you that achieving true freedom, experiencing the nature of Jesus in your heart, is impossible. It can't be done. Holiness, sanctification, Christian perfection, those are all just pipe dreams. It's a stronghold that tells you you can never be like Christ. The results are we excuse sin in our life. Well, I'm just human, and there's no way for the nature of Christ to be completed in my heart, so I'll just have to keep falling short. The results are we figure we just have personality flaws. Well, I'm just a worrier. I'm always going to worry. It's not something I can be victorious over. There just isn't anything God can do to help me. The results are an ever-increasing stronghold of unbelief. Our language becomes littered with what can't be done, victories that can't be won, things that can't be changed. That is a stronghold from the enemy, because God's word says that with God, all things are possible, including complete victory, including complete freedom, including the ability to experience the wholeness of the indwelling of the nature of Christ in our hearts. Stronghold number three. There are places, the fortresses that Satan has built in our lives, in our thought processes, that are arguments against the truth of God's word. Places that God has given us weapons of warfare to tear down. Pride, unbelief, and the third, failure. This often plays right out of unbelief. It shows itself in thoughts like, I will always be a failure. I'm just a sinner. Or I tried walking in the Spirit, but it didn't work. Have you ever said any of those things about yourself? Have you ever thought them? Paul says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We need to capture the thought, I am a failure. We need to repent of it. We need to tear down that stronghold with verses like Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through him that strengthens me. That's hardly a verse of failure. We need to capture the thought, I am just a sinner. We need to repent of it. Tear it down with a verse like 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. We need to capture those thoughts of defeat, those thoughts of impression, those thoughts of failure, and replace them with scriptures like Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Are you seeing the pattern here? Satan builds strongholds in our minds and our thoughts by twisting and arguing and convoluting the Word of God. So we destroy these strongholds by speaking the truth of God's Word. Freedom begins with the name of Jesus on our lips, and it is completed with the nature of Jesus in our hearts. Another stronghold, another thought pattern that must be taken into captivity is fear. Many of us have almost allowed ourselves to become wired to believe that if we try something new, we're going to be embarrassed or rejected. Maybe as a child you were ridiculed, and you fear experiencing that again. So you just withdraw. Fear can be debilitating for individuals and for churches. The stronghold of fear can keep us from freedom and victory. The stronghold of fear can be so debilitating. It can leave us so bound up, so paranoid that we're frozen in time. And God's word wants to tear down that stronghold as well. So it says in John 1 John 4:17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we not be afraid on that day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. See the contrast there? Not fear, but confidence. Not failure, but as Christ is, so are we. Verse 18, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is the fear of punishment. And it shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We can testify to that, can't we? But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If we fear, it is because we haven't been made perfect in love. In other words, if we struggle with the stronghold of fear, it's because we haven't allowed for the freedom that comes from the nature of Christ's love to dominate the influence of our heart. Verse 19, we love each other because he loved us first. Take that, Satan. God loves me. His love wasn't predicated on loving him. Quite the contrary. I love him because he first loved me. Which leads to our last stronghold, the stronghold of cold love. In Matthew 24:12, we are told, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Cold love is a major stronghold in our lives, and it can be in the church as well. 1 John 4:20 says that if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, then that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can't see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? If Satan allows our love to grow cold towards each other, he knows that he is simultaneously influencing our love towards God. And he's building a stronghold against our freedom. When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, what did he say? He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. He said the second was very similar to the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. A key to enduring freedom is keeping your love from growing cold. Your love from God, your love for others. If you have sensed your love growing cold in your relationships with others, in your walk with God, in your spirit, you will find yourself more and more detached from the church and fellow Christians. Don't miss the warning. The stronghold of cold love may be building in your life. And it must be taken captive quickly, or it will bind up your freedom. The world, our experiences, and wrong doctrines are the strongholds that Satan uses to build strongholds in our life. But humility, belief, truth, confidence, and love are the answers to the strongholds of the world. And we gain these through our daily walk with Him. We're just beginning a 40-day period of prayer and fasting. This spiritual discipline will help you to draw closer to God and help you to plug into the tools you need to stand up to the strongholds of this world. What are your strongholds? What is keeping you from God? As we close, be praying about your own life and the strongholds in your life. God can give you freedom from them. Freedom starts with the name of Jesus on our lips. It is completed with the nature of Jesus in our life. Our God is powerful.